G'day, Troy Dean here from WP Elevation, and I have with me all the way from Queensland, I believe, Jeanette Jifkins. Is that right, Jeanette? You're in Queensland today?
That is right, and it's a beautiful day here today.
I'll stop it. It's 13 degrees and cold, and that's a Celsius, by the way, 13 degrees and cold and raining. Actually, it hailed this morning here in Melbourne.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, lovely. Great. I was going to walk to work today and it hailed, so I took the car instead. Hey, for those that don't know, which most won't, Jeanette, what do you do and why are we on this call?
Great question. I'm a lawyer, and of all things, I actually love what I do. What I have been doing for the last 5 years or so is working really closely with people doing business online and internet marketers, digital marketers, that kind of thing. So I help essentially people to protect their business while they're doing business online. So looking at all the sorts of contracts, dispute resolution, compliance, terms and conditions, all of the myriad of bits and pieces that you don't know until you run into trouble. I look after that and help people do that.
Awesome. And so you said you're a lawyer and you love what you do. Is that?
I do.
Those two things usually don't go hand in hand.
Apparently not.
Right.
There's an awful lot of unhappy people in the profession, but
right.
I was always a nerd at school, and I happen to really like writing contracts.
Right. Cool.
So I'm just lucky.
Awesome. Well, hey, we spoke recently. You were actually introduced to me by one of our WP Elevation members, Philip Krieg. And
yep.
I thought we get lots of questions about stuff that I'm not qualified to answer. I know that's hard to believe, but especially around accounting and legal stuff. So
yep.
My good buddy Mike McHenry from Geelong came on and talked a lot about managing money and the kind of accounting 101 for WordPress consulting business. And I thought it would be good to get you on the line and just ask some
yep.
quick questions. Like the most common questions that we get around running a business as a WordPress consultant or a freelancer. So one of them is, you know, do we need to have contracts with our clients? And if so, what do we need to put in them?
Ah, well, that is a very good question. And there are an awful lot of people who run around without contracts. But the purpose of a contract is, it's really hard to remember what you've agreed in a conversation, even an hour after the conversation. And the purpose of a contract is to document what the agreement is so that, you know, 2 weeks, 2 years down the track, you're all on the same page and it helps you to avoid disputes. Now, for people who do design or anything online for other people, some of the key things that I know they run into trouble with are the number of edits or changes or rehashes, all of that kind of thing. If you don't set out up front how, you know, I will do this for this amount of money, then you can unwittingly create the expectation in a client that you'll do anything for the amount you've quoted for them. And that is the single biggest problem I get with web developers and clients doing that kind of thing. So really being clear about what you do and don't do for clients is a very important thing to have in that contract. And in actual fact, I wrote an article and published it on LinkedIn about 3 weeks ago exactly on this topic. And it was the top five legal things you should have in your contract for services. And one of those things was, you know, what you do and what you don't do.
Mm.
Some other key things are payment terms. You know, it's very hard for a lot of small business people to ask for money. And if you have it in a, it really is.
Yeah.
And they'll do all this work and then they'll be really nervous about asking to get paid for it.
Mm.
If you've got it in your written contract and it says you've got 7-day terms or 14-day terms or you require a 50% deposit up front, it's just really easy because you say to people, these are my standard terms. And
yeah.
you don't have to stress about negotiating that again in the future.
Mm.
So they're just two simple things.
Yeah, great.
There was one I mentioned to a client the other day. It wasn't the number of changes. It was something else. Oh, it'll come to me.
What if a client, you get halfway through a project and the client starts saying, oh, I would like to add all these new features to the website. Is that where a contract can be really helpful to just come back and draw them back to the contract and say, this is what we agreed on?
Yeah, and well, that was it. You can have an extra provision in the contract which says if you want anything outside the proposal here, it's going to cost you this much, or we will requote you, or you know whatever. We'll quote you for additional work before we do any.
Mm.
And now that's a discipline in itself, in that if that's the process you want to take, you actually do follow that process instead of just going ahead and doing the work. Yep. Because if you go ahead and do the work, that's when you don't get paid for it.
Yeah, that's right.
having a provision that says the proposal is this and anything outside the proposal will quote you or you'll pay an hourly rate makes
Perfect.
It much easier.
And yep. the thing is, I think what a lot of freelancers kind of get caught up in is this is actually standard operating business practice.
It really
There's nothing unusual here. I mean, most small business owners expect that you would have terms and that you would have, you know, this is the payment terms, this is the way that we do business. I mean, in fact, if you go to any other service provider, they have a standard way of doing business and standard payment yep. terms. And most of those are not up for negotiation. This is the way that
That's
we
it.
Do business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in actual fact, probably the best example of that is I had a client recently that had just prepared their service agreement. And the very first time they used it, the response they got from the client was how professional it was.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What about what we need to have on our website? So if we're putting ourselves out there as a web consultant, we've got a portfolio, do we need to have things like privacy or disclaimers or any of that kind of stuff?
Yes. The answer is yes. Probably a really good example with privacy is if you think about it and you're trying to rank your page, and this is from a purely non-legal perspective, Google has been sued in every court around the world on privacy. So for them, privacy is important.
Mm.
And they're the people who program the bots that, you know, trawl the net to rank your page.
Mm.
So if you don't have a little privacy link on your page, I don't know whether that impacts you or not, but just for safety's sake, why would you not have a privacy policy?
Mm.
The other thing is it adds integrity to your business.
Mm-hmm.
So you let people know, actually, we are not Ashley Madison.
<laughs> You know?
We are going to do everything we reasonably can. And
yep.
it doesn't mean, you know, you don't have to have the same level of protection that the banks have, depending on the amount of information that you collect. But you have a reasonable level of protection for the information you collect from people, and you should only collect what you need to complete the work for them. With me, it's a little bit different. As a lawyer, I have certain obligations from my practice standards to say I have to verify identities and all sorts of things. So from time to time, I'll collect copies of driver's licenses and things like that. And it's a verification of identity thing. But that's because I have that obligation. If you're a freelancer, the kind of information you want to collect is names, phone numbers, email addresses, probably a postal address, and then you just keep that information secure and you don't share it with other people. Now, that doesn't mean you can't share it with an outsourcer. All those sorts of provisions you can include in your privacy policy. So it's really clear to your clients, this is what we collect. This is why we collect it. This is how we use it. And this is what we do to protect it. So, yes, it's worthwhile having a privacy policy. Terms of use, a lot of people sort of say, well, what's the point? You know, why would you have them? Your listeners might be aware that back in, I think it was 2007, there was a blogger in the UK who reviewed online games, and he reviewed Evony. And his comments were not favourable. And
right.
Evony took offence. So he was in the UK. Evony head office is in the US. All of their developers are in China. And they sued him for defamation out of the Sydney Federal Court.
Wow.
Or the Supreme Court, one of the courts. Anyway, they sued him in Sydney. Now, the only reason it didn't go ahead was because the social media response was, pull your heads in, don't be ridiculous. If you continue with this proceeding, we'll boycott you. But they determined, they went what's called forum shopping, and they picked the best jurisdiction in the world where they thought they had the most likely
wow.
ability to be paid. So if you have terms of use on your website, you can say to people, if you want to pick a fight with me, you have to come to me where I live and comply with the laws where I live, not try and take me the other side of the world to defend myself.
Gotcha.
So that's one fundamental thing. Another really good thing to include in terms of use on a website is copyright provisions. You know, particularly if you're putting up some of your portfolio and some of your work and you don't want people copying it without permission, you know, you can specify all that, your DMCA notices, all those sorts of things can
yep.
be in your basic terms of use on your website. And the other thing was disclaimers. Now, disclaimers, it really depends on what kind of work you're doing, whether or not you need a disclaimer. I usually recommend people in high-risk industries, so people doing health services and things like that, financial services, they definitely need disclaimers. As a freelance web developer, you may or may not. Your disclaimer would probably say that you, because you're really advertising services, it may or may not apply to the work that you do.
But you might say something like, you know, despite our best endeavours, we can't guarantee that you will get on the first page of Google within the first 7 days of launching your website, for example.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Just to manage people's expectations a little bit.
Yeah. Particularly if you're not doing any SEO for them.
Yeah exactly.
And even if you are, ranking on the first page in 7 days would be pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the amount of – it is the number one phone call we get after we launch a website. Oh, I've just typed in, you know, accountants Carlton and I'm not anywhere near to be found on – oh, dear. So how do we recommend – how do we recommend these? Because the sort of the offshoot of this is that we then have to go and educate our clients and say to our clients, you need a privacy policy, you need terms of use, and you might need a disclaimer.
Yeah.
Is it the web developer's responsibility to make sure they've got them, or do we just say, look, we're not lawyers, but we think you should have this, you should go consult your solicitor?
Absolutely. So you're not qualified and you can't give legal advice, and don't try, because that can get you in trouble with the regulators. Mm. So the best thing is to say, look, in most cases, people will go and get these terms and conditions and they'll seek advice from a legal advisor to do that. We have, particularly for startup businesses, my husband's a computer programmer, so he built a plugin for me that allows anybody developing WordPress websites to use a free plugin to upload basic privacy policy and basic terms of use. So they're basic fundamental protection. At the moment, they're written more for an Australian audience than an international audience. Mm. He's in the process of playing with that at the moment, but that's on lawforwebsites.info.
Cool.
And anyone, if you want to value add to your client and give them basic protection, you can use that free plugin. The only thing with that is I always recommend to clients, look, as soon as they're making more money than they can afford to lose, they really need to get those things reviewed.
That's a great way of putting it.
People, you know, for some people, $500 a month is more than they can afford to lose.
Yeah.
And for other people, it's significantly higher.
Yeah.
So it's always a commercial decision.
Yep.
For a business, what risk are you prepared to take? And this is how you can monitor it and take the right steps when you need them. So the advice would be refer people.
Sure. I'm going to put a link to that plugin underneath this this blog post. It's lawforwebsites.info, but I will put a link underneath this video so people can click through and go and grab that free WordPress plugin. Final question we get a lot of is, I'm a WordPress consultant. I'm developing websites for clients. I've got too much work on. I need to find another third-party developer to come on and help me, but I'm scared that this third-party developer is going to steal all my clients.
Yeah.
Do I get we get asked a lot, do you have any boilerplate templates for a non-disclosure agreement? Is that the right document to be using? What's the best way to handle that situation?
A non-disclosure agreement works in terms of asking people not to share the information that they receive. But what you've got to really think about, I mean, to me, it would be more of a service contract between you and the subcontractor. And you can specify the things in terms of the scope of the work you want them to do, payment terms again, just making sure that they don't overcharge you, you know, that it's work for service, you know, fixed work for service, so you're not paying them an hourly rate or whatever. That kind of thing you can sort out. And the non-disclosure and non-compete restraint, whatever you want to call it, can be part of that, as well as the confidentiality. It depends on what you want to achieve. I did actually write one recently for a client who wanted a one-pager, and the one-pager was basically, you don't steal my clients or my staff and you keep everything I give you confidential. So it can be done in a one-pager. Well, it was more than one page, but, you know, briefly.
Yeah.
Or you can think about, you know, more substantial terms, particularly if you're going to use an outsourcer frequently. You can give them a contract and say, all of the work that you do for me over the next 12 months is governed by this one contract, that kind of thing. So it depends what you want to achieve, but non-disclosure by itself is not a doesn't usually contain non-compete provisions or you know, don't poach my client provisions. Non-disclosure is usually about protecting confidential information.
Confidentiality, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, I think this has been really helpful. I've certainly learned a lot. I'm sure our listeners and our viewers will have as well. Where can people reach out and connect with you online, Jeanette?
Cool. Well, you lots of places, but probably the best place is to go to the website, which is Onyx, O-N-Y-X, onlinelaw.com. Cool. And we are just a .com. I think if you hit the .com.au, you get a redirection link. Otherwise, I am on LinkedIn, and you're welcome to join me on LinkedIn. That's probably the best way to contact me.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'll put all those links underneath this episode, underneath this blog post, so people can reach out and connect with you and stay in touch. And cool. Thank you for sharing some of your time and expertise with us here at WP Elevation.
Not a problem. It's been lots of fun.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeanette.
Thank you.